Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. It's great to be with you all today. My guest is our friend Orlando Avian Jr. He's the author of Unplugged and God Moments, Catholic speaker and author. Orlando, thanks for coming on with me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, William. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Have you been since last time we talked? It's been a few months.
You know what? If I can pick a word, it'd have to be amazing. You know, in spite of everything that's going on, you know, God just constantly opens up, you know, my eyes to just the glory of his moments. And I've been having so much fun.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear that, because I ask other people, how's the year going? And, you know, it's like the sigh, like, oh, my goodness. So maybe we can start with that. What are some of the things that have gone on? Just to, how can we open our eyes to what God is doing, even in these times?
Yeah, if I can pinpoint it, you know, we're just so busy with life in general. You know, we've got, you know, typically with, you know, pre-COVID, you had your 9-to-5 job. You probably had your kids in sports, all kinds of sports. You were every weekend running to some kind of event. You were always running around, but because we're pretty much stay-at-home orders this whole time, there's nothing else to do but to just take the moment and be silent, or just to, you know, just, you know, take care of the relationships at home. You know, when you're running around the place going in 5 different directions during the work week, you can't take care of the relationships at home because you're trying to do kinds of things. But because you're forced to be home, you definitely know you have to take care of the relationships at home now, because you're with them all day long. There's no more escape. You know, I'm going to go stay longer at work so I don't have to deal with the issues with my wife, or, you know, I'm going to go do something else so I don't have to, you know, listen to my kids fighting or whatnot. You're forced to be home. So you're forced to make sure that everything at home is at peace.
Now, during this whole time, have you been working from home then, instead of like going to the office? Or,
well, pre-COVID, I was already working from home. I've had a home stay-at-home office. I have reduced the amount of times I would visit the clients that wanted me on site. So, you know, there hasn't been a lot of change in my work environment.
Okay, great. Now, I know we're coming on today. We're going to talk about how to develop a devotional life. And I think you've already given us a pretty good idea on that. But what's the first thing, if someone's looking to do it, what's the first thing that they should try to do?
I think what a mistake some people make is they think they have to read the Bible, you know, cover to cover, to, you know, really have a relationship with God. But I think what has to happen is you just have to take the time to be with him, whether it's reading, you know, one line in the Bible, rolling, you know, getting on your knees and praying, or just stopping and just recognizing him. Well, whether it's a thank you, it's a help me, or I love you. It's just taking those moments. It's not about head knowledge as much as it is heart knowledge.
Okay. Now, in your book, Unplugged, is this something you discuss as well? Because it seems like a theme that may be similar in there.
Yeah. You know, like, Unplugging, it's disconnecting from the world. You know, we live in the world, but we have to learn how to disconnect from the world, whether it's taking a few hours away from media to be with God. It's spending time outside of the things of this world to spend time with our Creator.
Okay. What are some other tips that maybe you can give the listeners on how to develop that devotional life? I know you've already discussed some of the misconceptions, like you have to read the Bible cover. What are some other things we can do?
If anything, starting small. I think with anything in life, whether it's faith, it's fitness, it's money, we want the goal tomorrow. We want the $1 million tomorrow. We want the six pack tomorrow. We want the extraordinary faith tomorrow. But I think it's making small incremental changes in our life that'll, you know, help us grow in our faith journey. I talk to a lot of people and I ask them, you know, how much time do you spend with God? And most people sheepishly say, you know, I probably pray at the end of the day. I says, well, you know, if you're praying to God at the end of the day, of course, the hours before, you're going to feel lost because you didn't spend time with Him in the beginning of the day. So, you know, if anything, it's spending time with Him first thing in the morning. First thing I do when I wake up is I roll off my bed onto my knees and say thank you, you know, for giving me a day, and asking Him to prepare me for what He has in store for me. You know, open my eyes so I can see Him, open my ears that I can hear His voice, and open my heart that I can receive whatever He says. Because sometimes the things He says to me through His word, I'm not quick to want to jump to it, but I have to learn to be open to it.
So you wake up, you go to your knees and pray. What do you do afterward? Is there any other time after that?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll give you my daily routine, and it's not always consistent, but it always has these pieces.
Okay.
Roll out of bed onto my knees to pray. Cold shower. I've learned the quickest way to wake up is cold showers.
I can imagine.
It also teaches you how to learn to be comfortable in the uncomfortable, because God puts you in a lot of uncomfortable situations. So if you can prepare your body for uncomfortable situations, when the uncomfortable happens, you know, you're more apt to be able to deal with it. Work out with my wife. We're usually up and working around about 5:15 a.m. After working out, another cold shower. Then walk the dogs. I've learned to leave my phone at home. I shared this with my audience before that. I'd go walk the dog and I'd have my phone in my other hand. So as I'm walking, I'm looking at my phone, and as I'm supposed to have peace with my dogs, I'm anxious because I'm watching, I'm reading my email, I'm reading Facebook, I'm being pulled in all these directions. And I come to realize that there are two leashes, you know, my dog's leashes and the phone that's I'm leashed to. So I put it in a practice to leave the phone, you know, in my house when I go walk the dog. After walking the dogs, I'll come home. Then that's the time when I'll do my God moment. I'll sit and I'll record myself sharing with my audience where I saw God, and then I'll read them a Bible passage. That way, there's people out there that want to read, but they haven't made the time, but they'll go on Facebook and they'll watch a video. So if it's feeding them. So, and then that's when I start my work. And because my work doesn't involve me being with other people, I'll usually have in the background some kind of sermon, scripture, Christian music, or something that just helps motivate me on a business level or personal level. So that's pretty much my day. And then you come home, the family will eat together, we'll have dinner together. My son and I will work out in the evening. And then, you know, my wife and I will hang out for a little bit. We've actually started praying together. We've been doing the novena together these last few days. But throughout the day, I'm practicing little bits of communication with God and learning at the same time. But these are all things that I put into practice little by little. They didn't just happen.
So kind of like St. Paul says, you're praying without ceasing.
Yes.
It sounds like. Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah. For someone out there who says, I'm just too busy, I don't have the time to do it, what would you say to them on how to get started? Because it is important.
You have to schedule it. Honestly, I actually put this quote in one of my posts this morning. It's not about having the time. It's about making the time. You have to carve time to be in the presence of God. They say that the average person is either watching TV, playing video games, or on some kind of digital device for 3 to 5 hours a day. You know, and that sounds like a very high number, but I wouldn't doubt it, because when I wasn't giving my time to God, I can honestly say that was my life. So if you're just getting started off, just take maybe 15, if you've got 5 hours to waste from digital devices, just take 15 minutes from that 5 hours, put it into your time with God. When 15 minutes isn't as difficult, take 30 minutes, take an hour. Eventually, your time in media decreases and your time with God increases to 5 hours a day. You know, it's just learning how to take from one bucket into another bucket.
Right. And I think that's key, because we all have time. It's just a matter of prioritizing the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about posts. I did one that, you know, said it was a meme, because I love memes on Facebook, of course. And it said, I don't have time for Facebook. And then, you know, he said, then I looked at my Netflix playlist. I was like, eh.
Yes, exactly. I remember seeing that. I like that post of yours. So true.
It is true. And I think another misconception, Orlando, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of people, you talk about how they think they have to read the Bible cover to cover, is that they think they have to talk nonstop for 30 minutes in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can touch on that, on how that's not actually true either.
Yeah, I heard a story where a man asked a pastor, you know, how long should I pray? And the pastor replied to him, you know, I only pray for a couple of minutes, but I never go an hour without praying. But you don't have to pray for a whole hour, but you want to pray every hour, even if it's for a minute. You know, and like you said earlier, pray without ceasing. It's learning how to recognize God. Maybe for every hour that you're awake, give him 1 minute. You know, just it's learning how to take a little bit from your moments to be with him. And then you'll see God moments everywhere you go.
Absolutely. And what in your view is the importance of maybe just staying in a quiet room and just listening? Or maybe not in a quiet room, but just listening.
Oh, man. You know, they say that it is so difficult for people to be quiet even for a minute, mainly because of all the noise that they have in their head. I mean, you just close your eyes and you start thinking about all the things you need to do. So, of course, it's difficult, but just like the things I talked about earlier, it's practicing doing it. Try for doing it for a minute, then doing it for 2 minutes. Next thing you know, you'll find so much enjoyment with, you know, being in a quiet place, because that's when you can actually start hearing God's voice. You know, when there's silence, then you're not dealing with all the chaos of the world. But it's taking that time to be with him and asking. I think if anything, you have to ask him. You talked about memes. It was a meme where, you know, there's this whole time somebody's asking for God, but God was right next to them. But they're calling out to this whole, you know, universe for God, but he's just right there. We think he's far off, but he's right next to us. We just have to recognize he's that close.
Okay. Let's switch gears for a minute. And I know pre-COVID you were doing some speaking and you've had other things going on. What are you up to now, especially with COVID still going on?
You know, I was lucky enough to get a couple of speaking gigs where I didn't have to even leave my house. I just recorded, pre-recorded, and sent it over to the church or to the organization where they can share it with their audience. And I've had a lot of time to create video. That's actually where my focus has been of late, is creating content on Facebook. I think where we originally met was on LinkedIn. We were
Right.
both creating on LinkedIn. I've kind of switched gears and have moved more towards creating on LinkedIn, I mean, Facebook and Instagram. I think there's more of an audience that recognizes me because a lot of them are family members. But, and I create content anywhere from my God moments to my wife and I were working out or unboxing videos, which are always fun. My wife always buys stuff and I says, "Hey, I'll unbox it," even though they're not for me because it's just fun unboxing stuff.
I never thought about what's the most fun you've had in unboxing? What was that like?
Let's see here. I think the coolest thing I unboxed was my bug zapper because we got all kinds of mosquitoes in my backyard, and I go in my backyard just for 5 minutes and I'm getting bit. So I unboxed it, I tried it out, and I think that was only because people found humor in how excited I was to kill bugs.
Okay. You said your focus lately has been on doing video. How often do you do videos on Facebook and Instagram?
I would say I create on average 3 a day.
Okay.
And they're short clips, you know, 3 to 4 minutes.
Okay. And how do those videos fit into like a prayer life as well?